Now, a diamond necklace, a feisty young widow, a lover torn between two women. These are the beguiling ingredients of our new classic serial, Rose Tremaine's adaptation of Anthony Trollope's novel, The Eustace Diamonds.
In my family, this necklace has always been known as the Eustace Diamonds. I suppose there are a lot of other diamonds here and there among aunts and cousins, but none like these.
Oh, Florian. How wonderful to own something so unique. Are they terribly valuable?
Yes, they are, Lizzie. Look.
Oh.
I want to give them to you. Come nearer, my darling. Let me put them round your neck.
The Eustace Diamonds by Anthony Trollope. Dramatised for radio by Rose Tremaine.
He died like Shelley in the Bay of Naples. Or was that Keats? Anyway, his lungs withered. You could hear them withering. And his blood seeped away. He died a poet's death.
A poet's death? I wonder if that's a consolation.
I rather think it is. Florian loved poetry, you know. I think he was the only one of the Eustace family to be interested in anything but money.
It might be because he had so much of it.
Well, he did, Frank, yes.
And you're a very rich widow now, cousin.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if I'm very rich. I used to read poetry to him when he was dying. Overhead. Look overhead, among the blossoms white and red.
Lovely.
He said I had a mellifluous voice. I had to look up the word mellifluous in Dr. Johnson's dictionary. Oh, my poor Florian. He taught me so many things.
Oh, it's all dashed unfortunate and sad.
He admitted to me that he was dying when he proposed to me. I've never told anybody that. He said he knew he had to compensate me for marrying an invalid.
Compensate you, Lizzie?
Yes. With, you know, possessions and that kind of thing.
That's an odd sort of arithmetic.
You're not to tell a soul about it, Frank. And of course he gave me my son as well. I mustn't forget that.
Oh, poor little Flo. What are you going to do now, Lizzie?
I don't know. Shall I order some tea?
No, I mean, what are you going to do with your life?
I haven't really thought about it, Frank. At the moment, I'm still being pestered by the Eustace lawyers about what's mine and what isn't mine.
You mean the will wasn't clear?
Well, they said it was clear, but it's in such funny language. Florian said the castle in Scotland was mine for my lifetime, and I couldn't really ask to keep it beyond the grave, could I?
No.
But now, they're saying I might have to give it up to Flo before my life has ended. It's all very hard to follow.
What about the famous Eustace diamond necklace?
Oh, that's certainly mine. Florian put it round my neck.
Are you sure?
Oh, yes. He gave it to me when we were in Italy.
He travelled with a thing that valuable?
Yes. We were standing on our balcony of the, you know, palazzo, or whatever they called that house, and the sun was going down, and the diamonds almost seemed to catch fire. It was a very beautiful moment, Frank.
Have you any idea what those jewels are worth, Lizzie?
No, none.
More than the rest of your estate, perhaps? Are you sure they're not a Eustace heirloom?
I don't really know what an heirloom is. It's just another funny lawyer's word, isn't it? Nobody knows what it means.
I think they do.
Well, the necklace is mine. I could sell it, I suppose, but I'd rather wear it. In Florian's memory. I think I will order tea. Being in mourning makes one terribly thirsty.
Lizzie, Eustace, don't you dare pretend you haven't seen me.
Oh, Aunt Penelope. What are you doing here?
Is that the greeting I get and I'm nearly having a heart attack trying to catch you up?
Oh, yes. You are rather pink, Aunt.
Oh, heartless girl, you always were. But now you've gone too far, and I am not afraid to tell you that.
Well, it's not my fault you're out of breath.
You listen to me. I've come from Mr. Camperdown.
Who's Mr. Camperdown?
You know perfectly well that he's the Eustace family lawyer, now acting for John Eustace.
Oh, that horrible man.
You've got the diamonds locked up somewhere, and Camperdown knows it. But they are not yours, and you must give them back.
Do you mean the necklace that Florian gave me before he died?
Gave you before he died? Oh, you're a vixen, Lizzie. You've never known truth from untruth since the day you were born. Spoiled by your father, given whatever little bauble you asked for.
Aunt Penelope, I can't for the life of me think why you're being so nasty.
Nasty? This is nothing to what you're going to endure if you don't come to your senses, miss, if any senses you have, and return those diamonds to the Eustace family.
Return them? Of course I won't return them. They're mine. My poor Florian put them round my neck in Italy and told me they were mine to keep.
Those diamonds are heirlooms. Flo would never have given them away and could not have done so even if he'd wanted to.
But he did.
Have you any conception of what they're worth?
Why, no. Absolutely none. All I know is that the diamonds are mine.
If you don't take care, you'll be brought to a court of law and found guilty of theft and put in the clink. Huh? How will you like that?
The clink? I shouldn't like it at all. You are horribly unkind today, Aunt. Is it the humid weather?
Camperdown will hound you. He's a man who never gives up. He will bring you low.
Is that your fond farewell to me?
You'll see, Lizzie. You'll see what's going to come upon you. Good day to you, miss. Cab? Stop, cab! Stop!
Your cousin, m'lady.
Lizzie, how lovely you look.
Oh, I hardly think so. I've had such a terrible afternoon, Frank, you can't imagine.
I'm sorry.
Aunt Penelope was being so unkind to me.
She's always bad-tempered in hot weather. Now, Lizzie, listen to me. I've come from a meeting...
I'll send for sherry, shall I? I need something to revive me.
I can't stay, alas. I'm expected at Fawn Court.
Oh, you're going to see that little governess friend of yours. What's her name? Elsie Morris, is it?
Lucy. Lucy Morris. Now, I've come from a meeting with John Eustace, and
you're
I must talk to you.
You're intending to marry Elsie Morris, are you? She hasn't a bean in the world, and you live quite beyond your means, Frank.
Lizzie...
You must marry a rich woman quite soon, I think, or what will become of you? You'll be persecuted by your tailors and your wine merchants, if you're not already. You'll lose your good name in Parliament.
I didn't come to talk about myself. I came to warn you.
Warn me? Of what?
John Eustace is a very reasonable man, as is his father, the bishop.
Yes, I know, Frank. I was part of their family till Flo died. They were always very courteous to me.
But they're in despair. Their patience with you is coming to an end.
In despair? What can you mean?
I tried to talk to you on the subject of heirlooms, but you wouldn't listen. They're putting the whole matter in the hands of the law. Unless you give the necklace back.
Oh, not that stupid necklace again.
That stupid necklace, as you call it, is a grave matter. It's a family heirloom which must be put into safekeeping until your son comes of age and marries, when it may be worn by his wife, if he so chooses. But it cannot be taken out of the Eustace family. It forms part of their estate.
You're completely wrong. I told you. Flo gave it to me and it was part of his dying wish that I keep them for my own.
No. You must have misunderstood.
I did not.
Sir Florian had no right to give it to you.
Then he assumed that right. On his deathbed...
You told me you were on an Italian balcony.
Well, I don't mean literally on the bed, but he died very soon afterwards.
Now, please, Lizzie, think carefully about what you're doing. Mr. Camperdown has been engaged by the family to bring this matter to an end.
I'm not the least afraid of Mr. Camperdown. I have right on my side.
Well, the law would say otherwise. Think of your future. What is to become of you if you pursue this course? You'll be reviled.
Will you revile me?
Of course not.
Then what do I care? Apart from my little boy, you're the only person in the world I care tuppence about.
Don't say that.
Why not? I love you, Frank. I'm counting on you to be my protector.
I can't protect you from the law.
Why not? If I'm innocent of any crime.
I know you believe you're innocent.
But you think me guilty of some felony?
I just don't know what to think.
Oh, but isn't that just the kind of thing Elsie Morris would say? I don't know what to think. I suppose dullness is terribly contagious, is it?
I would like to go to Paris. Lydia, say it, please.
J'aimerais aller à Paris.
Good, very good. Now, Augusta, I am going to buy a new dress.
J'aimerais acheter une nouvelle robe.
Oh, no, not I would like to. I am going to.
But I'm not going to. I would like to, but Mama told me Frederick says we already spend far too much on clothes.
Just pretend. I am going to buy a new dress in Paris.
Have you been to Paris, Lucy?
No, I've never been anywhere.
Mr. Greystock might take you somewhere.
Let's finish our lesson, shall we?
Frederick told Mama you shouldn't think about Frank Greystock anymore.
Hush, Nina. Go on, Augusta.
Do you love him, Lucy?
I hope he's not going to break your heart.
I'll strangle him with a harp string if he does.
It's almost time for lunch.
Gentlemen to see you, Miss Morris.
Who is it, Hetty?
Him who came before, Miss. Grey Stone. Gone into the garden with her ladyship.
And how are the girls, Lady Fawn?
Oh, boisterous. It's high time Augusta was married, I suppose, but she doesn't seem to want to give her heart to anybody. She says she's happier playing the harp.
Well, I think that's admirable. Why should all the world be married?
Indeed. I take it you're not considering it, Mr. Greystock?
I weigh it in my mind. I'm sure you know how strong my feelings are for Lucy.
Frank, dear, we're all very fond of you. But Lucy we love as though she were our own. And we could just not bear the thought of any harm coming to her.
I would never do her harm.
I think you're already doing it. Forgive me, but it is so. You have got her hopes up. False hopes. You can't afford to marry a penniless girl, and that is that.
If only money were not in the equation.
Quite so. But for an ambitious man like you with a career to make in Parliament.
I do love Lucy very much, Lady Fawn.
Well, then you have a very difficult choice to make.
Mr. Greystock and Lucy have been walking for ages. Do you think they're lost?
He might be proposing. Did he look in a proposing kind of mood, Mama?
No, he didn't. No, that will be Frederick. Nina, come away from the window, and Augusta, do stop playing, dear. You know your brother can't buy the harp.
Frederick has no cultivation.
Frederick, dear. Oh. You look tired.
Mama, dreadful day in the house. Oh. Lucky to have got away when I did. Girls?
Frederick?
Mama's right. You look frightful. Well, I don't know why men want to be in Parliament if it's so exhausting.
Luckily for you women, we take seriously the running of the country.
I think it might run itself perfectly well without you.
Enough, Augusta. Have a drink, Frederick. Come and sit comfortably. We shall dine at 8:45.
Why so late? I'm hungry.
We're just waiting.
What for?
Mr. Greystock's in the garden.
Frank Greystock? Who invited him?
Nobody invited him. He came to see Lucy.
I thought you told him not to visit her.
I advised him, but I can't prevent him, can
he
I?
He should be prevented. Lucy is a fool. The man has no shred of honour.
They're coming back now.
I'm going up to change. I've got no stomach for Frank Greystock. And will someone please advise Lucy Morris to open her eyes?
Lady Eustace swears, Camperdown, that Florian gave her the necklace and told her it was hers to keep. And I suppose he could have done that.
No, no, no. Your brother knew that the diamonds were an appanage of the family.
appanage.
Heirloom, John. And this is as clear a case of stealing as I ever saw in my life. She hadn't a farthing before our marriage, and now she's got the Scottish estate for her life, as well as a pretty income. You'd have thought that would have been enough, but no. She sets her heart upon defrauding your family.
Well, it does appear.
I'll file a bill in Chancery if it's necessary. Heaven on earth! As trustees with the heir, how are you to reconcile yourselves to such a robbery?
Robbery is a strong word.
But robbery it is. And we mustn't allow it. Now, I have drafted a letter to Lady Eustace, and this is it.
Dying men can make mistakes.
Not of this enormity. Now, here, my letter. Madam, it is my duty as the attorney acting on behalf of your late husband and in the interest of your son, the heir, to ask for the immediate restitution of the valuable diamond necklace currently in your possession. These jewels are appanages of the Eustace family, which should not be in your hands. If attention be not paid to this letter, we shall be obliged to take legal steps for the restitution of the property. Yours very sincerely, etc., etc.
It's a little bald, Camperdown.
It's a bald matter. I don't understand you. Are you saying the widow is to be allowed to filch this as other widows filch china cups?
She doesn't see it as filching. She thinks it belongs to her. I suppose she could even sell it.
She knows she can't. We'd follow the trail on the diamond markets. But the sooner this letter is sent...
We really shouldn't be seen to be hounding her, the mother of the heir.
Why in heaven's name not? She's as dishonest a young woman as I ever came across in my life. I took the liberty of warning Sir Florian before he married her.
Pointless to visit the past. What we must hope for now is that she finds someone to help her change her ways.
Miss Crabstick, I don't believe I've told you how much I appreciate your decision to take up the role of companion in my household.
It's a lot better here than at Lady Linlithgow's.
Why, yes, it would be. Aunt Penelope has the foulest temper in London. But what I was going to say was...
A slave, I was. Fetch my book, pick up my shawl, bring me the newspaper.
And all without one please or thank you, I'm sure.
And no pay of any kind.
No. My aunt is horribly stingy. But what I was going to say was...
And mockery.
Mockery?
Of my name, Crabstick. She wouldn't let it alone. She said it suited me.
Well, that was unkind. But what I was going to say was, I do believe the role of companion is played to its greatest effect if there is sometimes an interval to that companionship. I am reflecting that even best friends do not wish to be together the whole time.
Best friends?
Yes. And I read here that the horticultural show is on. Perhaps you would find a visit there very instructive as to flowers and trees and so forth.
Flowers and trees? I've never interested myself in these things at all. I prefer the sea.
The sea?
Born on the Kentish coast, I was. I miss the sound of the waves.
Well, nevertheless, why do you not try the
horticulture? They used to lull me to sleep.
Yes, I can imagine. But why do you not try the horticultural this afternoon? It says here... There is a wonderful representation of cactuses garnered from around the world.
Cactuses? I've never seen the point of those. Their thorns are designed to wound you, and I require no further wounding than life has already given me.
A gentleman to see you, Lady Eustace.
Oh, is it Mr. Greystock?
No, m'lady. It is Lord Fawn.
Lord Fawn? Lord Fawn! Well, show him in. I must attend to my hair. Crabstick, see here, these hanging bits should be curled on my head. Pin them up, quickly.
Oh, I'm not your maid.
These bits here, come on. You can be my maid for 2 minutes, can't you? Lord Fawn, upon my honour. What can he want on a Sunday afternoon? He's usually in Richmond with his mother and those vexing sisters.
There is never any knowing what men want, Lady Eustace.
How? When he comes, you must go. Go to your room or go to the horticultural, but I must speak to Lord Fawn alone.
You told me Lord Fawn was a stupid owl.
Well, yes. He is somewhat dim, but he is also a peer. Lord Fawn! What an honour.
Lady Eustace.
This is my companion, Patience Crabstick. But she's on her way out, aren't you, Patience?
If I've come at a bad moment.
No, not at all. Do sit. Off you go, Patience, dear. She is unpredictable. I could almost choke upon her lack of affection for me. I try so hard to be kind and understanding. I swear that sometimes I get the feeling that nobody in the world is on my side.
On your side?
Since Florian died, I've been so much alone. And everybody criticizes me.
Why would they criticize you?
I can't imagine. They're jealous, perhaps, of all that Florian left me.
Well, yes, money is frequently a difficult possession. I rejoice sometimes that I have none.
You are teasing, I suppose. A man in your position.
I mean that I am poor, for a peer. My father was Irish, you know.
Oh. And the Irish tend towards poverty, do they? I have heard that said.
There was a house in Ireland, but my father let it all fall to ruin.
Oh, what a terrible shame.
It was in County Tipperary. There was a lovely park.
Tipperary? Isn't that where they murder people?
Only a few. And I've made good since then, but my good is relative. To put it bluntly, Lady Eustace, I have about 5,000 a year.
Yes?
And a salary, of course. But I am by no means a rich man.
Well, I sympathise. Even I do find it extremely difficult.
Now you know everything about me, all that you need to know.
I do?
I could not afford to marry a wife without money, but, dear Lady Eustace, I admire you more than any woman I ever saw. Indeed, I love you with all my heart.
Love me? I don't understand, Lord Fawn. Why has love suddenly made its appearance in this conversation?
I should have spoken earlier, but the moment was never right. So I'm speaking now.
Dear, oh dear, I confess I am finding this rather hard to follow.
Let me be plain, then. It may be that you're determined never to marry again, but I can only say that if you will trust yourself to me, you and your child, I will make your happiness the chief object of my existence. Will you allow me to entertain some hope?
Of marriage?
Yes.
Well, my goodness. You have quite taken my breath away, Lord Fawn.
I know that it must seem sudden. I am not a man of eloquence, or perhaps I would have dared to speak to you before. But please, I beg you, Lady Eustace. Lizzie.
Oh.
To believe in my absolute sincerity when I tell you that I wish you to be my wife.
My word. Frederick. Do please pour me a glass of sherry. I feel quite faint. You will give me a little time to think about it.
Of course. Of course.
Lay them out, Lady Eustace. Put them on this velvet cloth. Benjamin, give the cloth a shake.
Yes, Mr. Arthur.
They are rather heavy. As you see, there is this beautiful Maltese cross at the centre.
Oh, my heavens. In all my years in the jewellery business.
Struck me dumb, Lady Eustace. You've got nothing less than the crown jewels here.
I have.
Pass me the eyeglass, Benjamin. Oh, look at this. Flawless. This kind of perfection. I've never seen anything to match this.
Oh, I'm glad you like the necklace, Mr. Harter. When my late husband put it round my neck.
Like it? Jewels like this? I believe I'm going to cry. Sorry, Lady Eustace, but I feel so stirred.
Understandable, Mr. Harter. Very comprehensible. I could shed a tear myself. The business. The first thing, Lady Eustace, must be safety. Shall we assume you have some kind of strong box in which to keep them?
Strong box? Well, no. I just keep them in my room, in a chest of drawers.
In a chest of drawers? Criminal. Forgive me, Your Ladyship, but it is. But we shall remedy it. We will make you a strong box as swiftly as we can. We can bring it to you on Friday, can't we, Mr. Harter?
Yes.
Oh, well, that's very kind of you. It never occurred to me that anybody might steal them. But I suppose they're very valuable, are they?
Valuable? You see that tray of rings we have laid out there and this cabinet of bracelets? Your diamonds are of greater value than all of those put together.
Are they?
Well, I suppose that's comforting to know. If I ever fell upon lean times.
You mean you might consider selling them?
Well, I suppose I might. But on the other hand, I am very fond of them and would hate to part with them.
But you could be persuaded if the price was right.
But how do I know what the right price is?
Would you consider leaving the necklace with us so that Mr. Benjamin and I might consult together and reflect upon a price?
But the diamonds be safe. Do you have a strong box?
We have a strong room, Lady Eustace, with 9 locks upon the door.
9 locks? Oh. Mm. Yet you hold all the keys. How am I to trust you?
Mr. Arch and I have been in business together for 22 years, Lady Eustace. Ask anyone in London. We're as solid as gold.
Even so, if the value is so great, I think I must never be parted from the necklace. I'd better keep it under my pillow, hadn't I?
I have marvellous news. I am to marry Lady Eustace.
Marry Lady Eustace? Are you sure, Frederick?
Yes, I am sure, Mother. Do you think I don't know my own mind?
Of course not. It's just that it's...
What?
Something of a shock.
Why didn't you tell us before?
Because, Augusta, it has only just been agreed.
Didn't you know you were going to propose to her?
Of course I knew. But I couldn't be sure that she would accept me, could I?
I wouldn't have accepted you. You're always going off to that House of Parliament.
Aren't you going to congratulate me?
Well, yes, of course. And naturally, we must invite her here. You had better bring her down to Fawn Court at the weekend.
Thank you, Mother. I will. And I'll invite the little boy.
I hate little boys.
Oh, girls, enough. Now, tell me, Frederick, what is her income?
Ah, you go straight to that question, do you?
Why should I not? You know it's extremely important.
Well, then, I'd say it was handsome enough.
How much is handsome enough?
About 4,000 to spend per year, and the castle in Scotland for her lifetime.
Scotland? It's freezing there. I suppose that's why you chose her, for an old Scotch castle. You never think of a person's soul, do you, Frederick?
Oh, please be quiet, Augusta.
I don't see why I should be quiet. If she's going to be our sister-in-law, we want to know what we're getting. So I'm just saying I would like to know whether she has a soul or not.
Everybody has a soul.
Not so. I know plenty of soulless people. And Lucy says...
This has nothing whatsoever to do with Lucy.
Yes, it does. Because Frank Greystock is Lady Eustace's cousin.
So?
Well, Lucy told me that even her cousin thinks...
Thinks what? Thinks what? Miss Morris? Tell me what Greystock said. I demand to know.
Well, if I say it, it's only that I wish you to be happy in your choice, Lord Fawn.
My happiness is none of your dashed business. Just remember that you're the governess in this household, not a family member.
I know that.
So please do not try to intervene in what does not regard you.
Oh, for pity's sake, Frederick. Lucy was only going to say what everybody knows, because she wants you to be happy. As we all do.
What everybody knows? And what is that, pray? What is that, Miss Morris?
Nothing.
You better tell me. Indeed, I order you to tell me.
It was only something Mr. Greystock said.
And?
Heartless. He said to Lucy, my cousin is heartless, didn't he?
Well, sometimes. Just a bit heartless.
Upon my word. I would never have believed any family could behave so disgracefully. I bring you news of my engagement, and what do I receive? No joy, no congratulations, only intrusive questioning and spite.
No, no, Frederick. It may seem that way, but we're only concerned for your welfare. We just want to be sure, that's all.
It is for me to be sure, Mother, not you. Lady Eustace is one of the loveliest women in London. When I tell her how you've all behaved, you'll be lucky if she ever deigns to appear in this house.
I'm sorry, Lady Fawn.
Yes, Lucy. I'm sorry, too. You went too far. Heartless is a terrible word.
It was the word Mr. Greystock used.
Terrible. You owe Frederick an apology.
Florian left his wife with a good income. Vaughan will have his eye on that.
He's marrying her for her money, then.
I presume. But she is also very beautiful.
Just can't see that myself. Too much guile. Will Fawn sort out this sorry mess of the diamonds?
I'm not sure. I think Fawn's afraid of Lizzie. He may take her side. Then she'll have to fight him too. And as you know, he's a dashed cantankerous fellow.
I think the time has come, John.
What time?
To serve a recovery order on her. That she can't ignore. And if she wants to wind up in prison...
Hold back for now, Camperdown. It may be that Fawn doesn't know yet what she's doing. She's capable of twisting things every which way to make herself look blameless.
You know she's cutting down trees on the Scottish estate.
No.
I act on behalf of the heir, so I get monthly reports from Mr. McGarren, the factor, Portray.
Cutting down trees?
A whole side of forest. To make money out of it, I suppose. But she has no right to touch the timber.
The trouble is, Camperdown, that she's clever on the one hand, and daring with it, but quite ignorant on the other. I declare she doesn't rightly know what truly belongs to her and what does not.
Well, somebody had better tell her. Lord almighty! If you don't mind my saying so, John, the Eustace family is showing weakness before a tyrant.
I suppose you think, Miss Lizzie, that being married to a peer will exonerate you.
Exonerate me? I'm sorry, Aunt Penelope, but I can't for the moment remember what exonerate means.
I always told your father he was neglecting your education. Free you from all blame. That's what I mean.
All blame for what?
Oh, for heaven's sake. Come to your senses, child. Crabstick, you tell her. She seems not to understand a word I say.
Well, I suppose Lady Linlithgow means the diamonds. I mean, keeping them here in that box the jeweller...
Crabstick!
Box?
She means the box Florian had made for them. To keep them safe for me after he gave them to me.
I never knew about any box.
Well, no, you wouldn't.
Crabstick, be quiet! And do let me remind you that after I become Lady Fawn, I will have no further need of any companion and my aunt will have to take you back.
Box is she talking about?
I'm not sure, Lady Linlithgow. Good day to you, Your Ladyship.
Have you told Fawn about it?
Yes. He respects my desire to retain something so precious, given to me by Flo.
I think you're lying to me.
You always think I'm lying to you. If I said I thought you were the unkindest aunt a woman ever had, you'd think I was lying. But in fact, it would be true.
The kindest interpretation I can put on it all is that you've come to believe your own untruth.
I don't think it's...
You have said so many times, the necklace is mine, the necklace is mine. So now you dashed well believe it. But I know something about Lord Fawn. He's not the kind of man who would let his future wife be seen in public wearing purloined goods. So what is the point of keeping the necklace if you can't wear it?
Mr. Greystock, m'lady.
Oh, show him in. I expect he's come to congratulate me on my engagement. Come in, Frank, come in. Aunt Penelope was just leaving.
Lizzie, you look very well. No, Aunt, don't leave on my account.
I'm not leaving. You'd better tell me what you think of it, Frank. You're a man of some intelligence.
Of Lizzie's engagement?
Not only the engagement, the other, more
criminal
activity.
Of course, I'm pleased for you, Lizzie. I don't see eye to eye with Fawn over politics, but he's an upright man and a lord. All I hope is that you truly love him.
I love him, at least more than you love Miss Elsie Morris.
Lucy.
I love Lord Fawn more than that, because I'm going to marry him. Whereas you, Frank...
She says she's told Fawn about the diamonds, but has she?
Have you, Lizzie? What does he say?
Oh, he says it's perfectly all right. He's not jealous of the diamonds. He might be a tiny bit jealous of you, but that's quite another matter.
Jealous of me? Well, I got the better of him in the house the other evening.
No, I don't mean that. I mean because you and I are so close. Aren't you going to miss me when I become Lady Fawn?
Well, I shall endeavour to see you from time to time.
You mean you don't really care a whit about it?
Just as long as you're happy.
She'll never be happy till she stops telling fibs. You tell her, Frank. All the little lies she told to poor Florian about money, and now this poppycock about a box.
Oh, I can't stand it, Frank. Everyone being so horrible and hating me.
They don't hate you, Lizzie.
But they don't love me either. And that's all I've ever wanted. To be loved.
You do love me a little, Frederick, don't you?
I admire you more than any woman I know, but...
Love and admiration are not the same thing.
Well, I cannot love what I do not admire. Until now, my admiration for you was quite unalloyed, but now...
But now what?
I'm only sorry, indeed I'm very sorry, that an impediment has arisen.
What? What pediment?
I'm afraid it's an obstacle we simply must get past if we are ever to be happy together.
What obstacle? Oh, a pediment for some statue? I fear I'm not following you, Lord Fawn.
You know what it is.
I have no idea what it is.
Well, I've talked to Mr. Camperdown, and
Mr. Camperdown? Oh, I hate him. He's a dreadful man. He vilifies women. He makes himself our enemy, and he hates me in particular because I'm not afraid of him.
Nonsense. Of course he doesn't hate you. But he knows right from wrong. And what you are doing, Lady Eustace, is, to put it bluntly, wrong.
Oh, I do believe I see what this is all about. You're referring to my diamond necklace, are you?
The Eustace necklace.
Then please listen closely to what I have to say. The necklace is mine, given to me by my darling Flo, and I wish to hear no more mention of it.
Oh, alas, there will be a great deal more mention of it if you do not surrender it, as you should have done the moment Sir Florian died.
I refuse to discuss it further, Lord Fawn. Oh! I love a carousel, don't you? Round and round. Round and round again, faster and faster. I shall bring little Flo here when he's older. And our own children, of course. For you would wish for children, wouldn't you?
That is far into the future.
The future is all we have. The past is lost to us. We must live for what is still to come. And of course, you'll want an heir, won't you?
Lizzie!
I mean, you don't even have a brother to inherit the title. Only all those sisters. You don't want the Fawn title to die, do you?
Please let us return to the subject.
No, I'm not returning to it. I've said my last word on it. I will not be put upon any more.
Camperdown is counting on me to bring you round.
Well, then, he'll be disappointed, won't he? For you have not brought me round. I have told you. I refuse to be robbed of my own property. And that is the very last thing I wish to say about it.
I'm afraid, then, Lady Eustace, that you give me no choice. I declare that under these circumstances, let the consequences be what they may, I must retreat from that enviable position which your favour has given me.
What?
I mean what I say.
I don't understand what on earth you are saying.
I should explain my motives.
I don't care anything about motives. Are you saying that you're threatening to desert me?
I want you to understand the position I am in.
What position? The position of one who no sooner makes a promise than he breaks it.
This other business must be settled before that promise can be made binding. A man of my standing in the world cannot be seen with a wife who has stolen what is not hers.
Oh, you lily-livered lord. You falsely accuse me of stealing, making me nothing better than a common criminal. What are you? You're a coward and a deceiver. You have no loyalty and no honour, and there is not one ounce of feeling in your body.
Lady Eustace, Lizzie...
Don't touch me! Go away! I have friends, and you'll be hearing from them, rest assured.
Mr. Frank Greystock, my lady.
Oh, Frank. Oh. Thank goodness you've come.
Well, what's happened?
Why are men so cowardly and fickle? I just don't understand it.
Dearest Lizzie, do try to stay calm and tell me what's happened.
What's happened is that I'm to be betrayed. I'm to be thrown aside by Lord Fawn. My engagement is barely a week old and now he says he's retreating from it.
On what grounds?
You may well ask on what grounds. I could hardly understand him. He used such complicated language. Something about pediments. He's a devious owl.
Come on, let's sit down and you can tell me calmly.
Why am I to be treated like this, Frank? What have I done to deserve it?
Well, you tell me. What have you done?
Nothing.
It's to do with the diamonds, is it? Lord Fawn believes you should give them back.
I thought he loved me. I thought he was going to protect me and be on my side.
Oh, I'm sure he does love you. No man marries where he does not love.
That's not true, Frank. And you know it.
Well, Lord Fawn could marry anybody he chose.
I know. And I thought because he chose me. Why are men so difficult? I hate them all.
Oh, come on, Lizzie. Now listen to what I came to tell you.
What did you come to tell me?
I've been thinking about all this. Everybody is following the opinion of Mr. Camperdown that your necklace is a family heirloom. But is everybody sure that he's correct in that assumption?
He's not correct. How can he be when Florian put the necklace round my neck in this very room and told me it was mine forever?
I thought he gave the necklace to you in Italy.
Yes, he did. But in a room a bit like this one.
Well, never mind that. It's come into my mind that perhaps we could refer the matter elsewhere and ask for a higher judgment.
What do you mean, Frank?
I'm thinking that I could approach Mr. Justice Dove, who once knew my father.
Mr. Justice Dove? Is he above Mr. Camperdown?
Yes, he's a judge, Lizzie. He sits in Chancery. He could be approached to pronounce upon the heirloom question.
Oh, Frank, that's a wonderful idea. Anybody called Justice Dove would surely be kind, wouldn't he?
Well, whatever he decides, Camperdown would have to abide by it.
Will you talk to him?
Yes, I will.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I knew you'd save me from all this.
It may not save you. All we can do is to ask for a second opinion. Meanwhile, Lizzie, what I suggest is that you leave London for a little while.
Where am I to go?
Go to Scotland. Take Florian and Miss Crabstick.
Perhaps that's best. But I shall be so alone there, with all that sea and emptiness. Will you come with me?
I have a great deal of work, Lizzie.
Is it work? Or do you just want to be near Richmond so you can visit that dull little governess of yours?
Not only that.
Don't let me down, Frank, for the sake of a penniless nonentity. Remember Keats. Love in a hut, with water and a crust, is love forgive us, cinders, ashes, dust.
So Frederick's not bringing Lady Eustace down for the weekend after all?
No, he remains in London.
Is it because he's still angry with me?
I don't know, Lucy. All I know is he's decided against the visit.
It's because he doesn't dare to face us.
What do you mean, Lydia?
He knows how perspicacious we are. Perspicacious, Lydia. We can read a person's character and know all about her in no time.
He knows that if we don't like her, we might lock her in the coal hole.
Or could just spell on her.
Don't be silly, girls. Eat your egg, Nina.
I already don't like her anyway.
Why, Augusta?
Because she thinks she owns Mr. Greystock. Just because she's his cousin.
Post, Lady Fawn.
Thank you. A letter for you, Lucy.
Oh, for me?
Here you are, dear.
Is it from Mr. Greystock?
Yes, I think it is.
You may read it in the library if you wish.
Thank you.
Do you think it's a proposal, Mama? Oh.
I'm afraid not.
Can I go to her?
Give her a moment, Augusta. Finish your breakfast.
Oh, Frank. Frank!
Lucy. Oh, no.
What does he say? Tell me what the letter says. He's asked me, Augusta.
He's asked me to be his wife.
What? Let me see. Oh, gracious. I ask you humbly to become my wife. Ink on paper, no going back. Oh, I'm so happy for you, Lucy.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
I believe I'm the luckiest woman in the world.
The whole matter has become intolerably vexing, Lord Fawn. I tell you, it's affecting my sleep and my stomach. I've never encountered such willfulness in my life.
Well, a solution must be found. My own position has become very difficult. If I go back on the engagement, I could find myself sued for breach of promise.
I doubt you dare. But if you don't mind my asking, Lord, why did you... Well, that is to say, a man of your rank and sober judgment, why did you...
I must marry a woman with money, Camperdown. It's as naked a thing as that. And, of course, she's dashed... Well, between men, she's dashed bedable.
There is a solution, that's the frustrating part of it. The solution exists, but I'm at present prevented from...
From what?
From proceeding with it.
Why? What prevents you?
John Eustace is squeamish about it.
Squeamish?
He thinks it diminishes her. Oh,
perhaps she should be diminished. She is so dashed proud and independent.
Well... Here it is, ready to be served to her. A recovery order for the Eustace diamonds. Once this is in her hands...
It's binding?
Nothing more binding. If she ignores it, she will be arrested.
Serve it on her.
By rights, I need permission from the Eustaces.
You have my permission. The permission of her future husband. Surely that is enough.
Now, as to jewels, I suppose I shall not need very many in Scotland. Scotch society is quite plain and dull. They just drape themselves with tartan rugs. What about you, Crabstick? Are you going to bring along your jewels?
What jewels?
No, I mean any little trinkets you may have acquired over the years.
Well, I'll bring all that I have. I wouldn't like to be robbed while we're away.
Robbed? Oh, heavens no. What a terrible thought. Thank goodness for the strongbox. It must travel with us in the coach and in the locomotive. We must not let ourselves be parted from it. I'm making you responsible, Patience.
I would rather not be responsible, Lady Eustace.
Why not? I can't be overseeing the box all the way to Scotland. Let me show the diamonds to you, so that you understand how much trust I am placing in your hands. Oh, help me, won't you? It's so heavy and noisy. I don't want to wake little Flo. Was there anything made on earth more beautiful?
Heavy, they look.
Well, yes, of course. The weight of all the thousands of carats.
It's a pity you can't wear them.
I suppose I can't. Though I long to do it, to show the world and Lord Fawn that I'm not afraid.
If you can't wear them, there's not much point to them.
There is a great deal of point, Crabstick. I could sell them if I chose. Oh, now we've woken Flo. Hush, Flo.
Florian.
Hush. Look what your mama's got. Look. See this? It can be yours one day to give to your wife. But till then, mama is keeping it safe. Safe from thieves of every kind.
I've had an idea, Mr. Harter.
Yes.
From where we are, you will agree that we have no means of knowing what condition of mind Lady Eustace is in.
Condition of mind?
We have no clue. Until she walks through that shop door with the box.
You're talking in riddles, Benjamin.
No, I'm not. Is she in a selling condition or a holding fast condition?
Oh, I'll get you.
But it's come to my attention that my sister-in-law is acquainted with Miss Patience Crabstick, Lady Eustace's companion.
And?
It seems Miss Crabstick is very put upon by her ladyship, very put upon indeed, and fairly mocked for her unfortunate name.
Crabstick.
And insufficiently remunerated to boot.
No, I'm not following you, Mr. Benjamin.
I was thinking of a plant, Mr. Hartley, or in common parlance, a spy. Are you following me?
Perhaps. Go on.
It's cheered you already, Mr. Hartley, I can tell. When times are tight, we should use our ingenuity. Want to ride?
I'm not willing to sail too close to the wind, Mr. Benjamin.
Oh, no, no. All I'm suggesting is a little inducement. Say a guinea to my sister-in-law and a little more for Crabstick.
To keep us informed.
Both as to the state of mind and whereabouts of the diamonds.
How much for Crabstick?
5 guineas. I doubt she earns that in a month.
We drink to you, dear Lucy, and to you, Mr. Greystock. To you both.
To Lucy and Mr. Greystock.
You must all call me Frank now.
To Lucy and Frank.
To Lucy and Frank.
Thank you. Thank you, and for all your kindness to Lucy. But luckily for you, I shall not be taking her from you just yet.
Oh, you won't?
I must find us a house, and...
But surely, if you're engaged, Lucy should go to stay with your mother until the marriage?
Yes. My mother is looking forward to that, but I think Lucy would be more at home here for now. Isn't that right, Lucy?
Well, this is my home, really. The only one I have.
Exactly.
Isn't there some stupid etiquette about future brides living with their in-laws? To be groomed, I suppose.
Oh, Lucy needs no grooming. She's perfect as she is.
Well, of course, we are delighted that Lucy won't be leaving us just yet. What date did you have in mind for the wedding, Frank, dear?
No date. I mean, there is much for me to do to make sure everything is right. And I think all this may take me, I don't know, a year or two.
That's ages, Frank.
Yes. Well, luckily, Lucy is the most patient person in the world. But I have never thought that long engagements were a terribly good idea.
No, I can wait.
It's only that I want everything to be perfectly right as to income and arrangements for how we are to live. You understand, dearest Lucy, don't you?
Of course I do. I would want everything to be right. Imagine if I left Fawn Court and then...
There was no marriage after all? But you wouldn't do that, Mr. Greystock, would you?
Of course not. Lucy is to be my bride, and that is that.
Well, there we are. But time can be corrosive, Frank. Let me remind you of that.
You must make up your mind to let me act now, John. I have been instructed by Mr. Justice Dove to refer the heirloom question to his lordship in Chancery, and this I am compelled to do. We have at the most 2 or 3 days' grace.
But surely our position is watertight. The necklace is an heirloom. The case is not in doubt.
It appears plain, I agree, but dare we take the risk of Dove's judgment? If you want the jewels back, I must serve the recovery order no later than the end of this week. John, did you hear what I said?
Write to her again, Camperdown. If you hear nothing, serve your order on
Friday. What do you think of this dress, Frank? Does the tartan suit
me? Do you have the right to wear it is more to the point.
What do you mean?
Well, which tartan is it? Tartans belong to specific Scottish names and clans. I never heard of a Eustace tartan.
I'm sure that doesn't matter. Who cares about clans? Does it suit me? That's the point.
Everything suits you.
Oh. A sudden compliment. From you who make so few. I'm touched.
Well, you always look beautiful.
Do I? Oh, Frank, you will come to Scotland, won't you? Please promise me.
Lizzie, the house is about to go into recess and I have a lot of work to finish.
Bring it with you. I promise not to disturb you, just as long as I know that you're near me.
I'll try to get away.
Try isn't good enough. You must swear.
Oh, let me rearrange the shawl of your gown. They wear it draped. There. Like this.
I like the feel of your hands on my neck. They're so warm and tender. And I shall rely on you absolutely to see that my shawl is correctly draped when we're in Scotland.
All right. How can I refuse that duty? I'll come as soon as I can.
Swear you will.
I swear.
Hush, Flo. We're going to Scotland. We're going to see seals and deer and lots of other wild things.
Get into the coach, ladies, and I'll put the box at your feet, Lady Eustace.
Come on, Flo.
I'll see you, Lady Eustace.
That's it. Oh, goodness me. Who's that going at such a pace?
Wait, Lady Eustace. I come on, you're not
Camper late. Down. Give me the box. Hurry. Put it here, quick.
Here you are, my lady.
You shan't escape me anymore. I have my writ, and I shall serve it on you.
Boatman, drive away. Hurry. Drive on.
Stop.
Drive on.
Stop.
In the first episode of The Eustace Diamonds by Anthony Trollope, dramatised by Rose Tremaine, Lizzie was Pippa Nixon, Frank, Joseph Kloska, Lady Linlithgow, Richenda Carey, Lord Fawn, Jamie Glover, and Lady Fawn, Stella Gonne. Florian was Nicholas Bolton, Lucy, Amy Morgan, Camperdown, Malcolm Sinclair, Crabstick, Alison Pettit, Harter, Sam Kelly, Benjamin, Stephen Critchlow, John Eustace, Alex Waldman, Augusta, Laura Hanna, Lydia, Ellie Butters, and Anina, Ella Dale. Original music was composed by Lucinda Mason Brown. The harpist was Cecilia de Maria, the cellist was Alison Baldwin, and the director was Gordon House. This was a Gold Hawk Essential production for BBC Radio 4.
There's a notice on the board, all those with theatrical experience report to such a place. I've got theatrical experience because I've been to the theatre twice.
Christmas listening on BBC Radio 4.
I said, how come there's never been a Broadway show that utilises this kind of music? We could make it a story about kids, the rock and roll generation.
Festive features and drama for the big day.
If you don't like it, Mr. Rumpole, you don't have to drink it.
Here's my contribution. In return, perhaps you can brew me up a tasty little manslaughter.
Feast your ears on BBC Radio 4. Find the Christmas menu on our website.